Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. We're so excited tonight. We have a most special guest, and his name is Casey Swanson. He is the CEO, president of Daily Swan Publishing Company, and I'm going to bring him up in just a moment so that everyone out there can actually listen to a little bit of the show and then call in, ask Casey questions. Our call-in number is 347-326-9915. That's 347-326-9915. And for all your information, we were listening to Basso, B-A-S-S-O, by cellist Rebecca Rodman. Rebecca was our guest with our regular guest last week, and she is part of two symphony orchestras in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Santa Rosa Symphony and also the Oakland Symphony. And she is absolutely an excellent cellist, and we're so happy to have her music with us. And right now I want to let you know that we're going to have a couple of upcoming guests. I would ask you all to check back with our website, www.judyjoyjonesshow.com, because my guest is here on the switchboard, and I don't want to keep him waiting. So let's bring him up. We're going to talk about publishing books.
Hello, Judy.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
Good.
Great. We're going to let everyone know this is Casey Swanson with Daily Swan Publishing Company. And Casey, I would like you to just kind of share a little bit about yourself and how you got started with all the people that don't know about Daily Swan.
Well, this may be our fourth anniversary. And we got started basically when my wife told me to take 6 months off and finish my book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got started about what it would take to put together a publishing company. I learned a lot along the way the last few years, but it's a very exciting time in the publishing with all the new formats, the internet, so many avenues to reach the book reading audience. So it is a pretty exciting time to be involved in the publishing industry.
Absolutely. Well, the thing about, you know, when you got into publishing, you had no idea, I guess, at that time that everything was changing to the point that there would be mega publishing mega companies that would be selling books. And maybe you could talk a little bit about on what that has done, you know, to what your dream was to begin with.
Well, one thing, I got involved in internet and building and the internet marketing and what the internet could do for sales back in the mid-90s. So I had a pretty good idea. We saw the direction of e-books, publishing, and the decentralization of the publishing industry. It's not the you have the New York, the big New York publishers. They do a good job, but they still try to be the dominant force out there. But with the print on demand, we do everything digitally ourselves, from our digital press to selling book online ourselves, that there are so many new revenues and avenues out there for people. Anybody can get their book out there now. That's both good and bad. Meaning there's good and bad books out there now. But it does mean it's a continually changing time, and you have to be flexible in your plans.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you say anybody could get their book out there, that is kind of good, like you said, but for the people that are going to go out there and spend their money and buy a book, you know, we always relied on Harper, Collins, and all the big name publishers, Casey, and now we're not able to kind of go by that route, are we?
Well, there's the big thing, especially on the internet, radio shows like this and all, is you get to hear a lot more from the authors. So it's not just the big the newspaper reviews to direct you to books. So a lot of these top-selling books have been floating around for a couple of years, and all of a sudden they move up to the top. People discover them, the word of mouth. So that's been a big part of it. And that's part of the things we try to do is get new authors out there. But the avenues, I'm losing my train of thought here. The avenues are so much broader. But the two things people got to realize, if they go on demand, they do it themselves, it's harder. It's very difficult to get into bookstores. It's difficult for a publisher to get into the bookstores. I was reading in the last 3 years, over 400,000 books have been published by the publishers.
Wow.
That's a lot of books. When you figure maybe there's room on the bookstore shelves for 35 or 40,000 of those. It means it takes a whole lot of, a whole lot out there now just to... You have to judge if you, how successful you are a little bit differently now. I mean, are you successful if your book is in every bookstore? Are you successful because of online sales? Are you successful just because you're out there? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it now, and both as an author and as a publisher, you have to look at those avenues.
Now, you are an author, and your book is called Beyond the Fears of Tomorrow. It's actually right there for everyone to see. If they go to our website and bring up tonight's show, we have your logo and your book, Beyond the Fears of Tomorrow. Now, you are a – what kind of book is that?
That is a sort of a nihilist event sci-fi epic poem. Started about 30 years ago now when I was in college, actually a little bit more than that now. What is it? Is it, yeah, just a little over 30 years ago. And that's the book that my wife said I had to sit down and finish. So we were able to afford me taking 6 months off work, and I went to the local Starbucks in Emeryville, and my job every morning from 8 to 12 was work on the book. And my brother, Gordon, who does all of our final cover work and helps with the interior design and all that, was my editor, and boy, was he ever tough. I had to do like 10 rewrites for him over the time before we got it where we wanted it to look.
Wow.
It's a little bit different, and, you know, when we launched the company 4 years ago, one of the most exciting things in my life is we're there at the BayCon in San Francisco, and I walked, taking a break. My authors are at the table. There was just the three of us at the time. And I walked by a pool, and there's a guy totally immersed in my book. So that was a pretty incredible feeling.
That is an incredible. That must be beyond belief to see somebody just take your book and totally be devouring it. I want to ask you, Casey, whenever you were, let's say about 10 years ago, before you actually – started your company, did you have like intuition you would be doing this, or were you just knowing that there needed to be more publishing companies out there for authors, especially science fiction?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot out there, and basically it's a little bit more. I've been wanting to do this since I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And finally had an opportunity to do it, and that's what it comes around is finally we reached a point in life that we wanted something to be able to carry on the rest of our lives and leave something behind for everybody. And so we came up with the idea of not just a publishing house, but a publishing family, which we try to do. We're all the authors, artists, editors, publicists, agents, everybody share information and basically help each other promote their books.
You know, that's the thing. Whenever you kind of felt like you were going to start a publishing company, though, that is beyond the, you know, let's say you write a book, you want to get it published, but you wanted the whole company, you know, and actually to help other people get their books out there. And to me, that is special. You have a lot of insight. Did you have publishers in your family, Casey, or were you just?
Not really, but I'd worked for a publisher in college. When I first moved to California, I was an independent publisher's rep, so I'd been able to spend some time and get involved in the industry that way. It's changed a lot since the early 80s, I'll tell you that. But a lot of the people were still there, and I was able to make reconnections with people I'd known in the past in the industry. And that was, I got a lot of helpful. We spent 2 years with a business plan before we did anything, which is anybody thinking of starting up any business. I suggest most communities have their business development offices.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time with them and putting together a business plan. You'll probably throw it out the window in 6 months, but it's still a good thing to do.
Okay, throw it out. Well, you know, I'm really excited because we had Casey on. Now, when did you go to New York City for that?
That was for the National Book Show at the end of May last year.
Okay, and we actually had Casey live from the floor of the convention, and that was very, very exciting because he had new authors coming up to him, and you actually signed on some at that point, did you not?
Yeah, we actually signed Cecile Forte, who's done a lot with Ladies Home Journal, has her own radio show and live. Her book is going to press on Monday, so that's one of our new releases. Actually, between the last month, we have two more going to press. John Ricks, who's been on your show as a co-host, his book is going to press on Monday, as well as Cecile Forte. Okay. Hers is our second in our motivational book series, aimed at primarily at women over 40, but I enjoyed the read myself and when I built the book. And, of course, John's is a young adult science fiction, and we're going to be highlighting that with this year's releases. We have his book. We have Treelanders, mm-hmm. which is a young adult fantasy,
mm-hmm.
Rimwhistle, which is almost for any age, a science fiction fantasy,
mm-hmm.
And Sorensen's Gift, which will be coming out in the summer, which may be the best young adult science fiction book I've ever, for a fantasy book I've read in my life, myself.
Wow.
I was so impressed with that. That is by Robin Roberts. This will be his first time publishing. And that is, again, I met him through a business contact I lost track of about 10 years earlier.
Wow.
And we ran into each other on the street, mentioned what each other were doing, and he said, well, I have a friend up in Oregon who has a book that he doesn't know what to do with. So he sent it to me. We did a couple of rewrites on it. But I'm seriously, it's right up there to me with Lion, Winter, the Wardrobe, with The Hobbit, with Wizard of Oz, and all the great I mean, it's, to me, a very impressive book. We'll see what happens when other people think of it.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
but,
you can love it.
Yeah, I can love it. The books we publish are ones we enjoy.
Yeah.
But there's a room for everybody out there. That doesn't mean anybody else will like it, hopefully, but you never know. Now, do you have anybody out there with any questions or anything?
Well,
just one of the things I love to do is answer questions for people
and
help people with their writing.
Yep.
Oh, please.
Everyone, I want to tell you to call in. Our number is 347-326-9915. And don't be timid, because Casey is one of the friendliest people I know, and the last thing he's going to do is anything negative. So I want to tell everyone, don't be afraid. Call in.
No. That's one of the reasons we started this company, is especially for new authors or just even some of our veteran authors. William Beecher, John Baker have been published before, big names. Because it's a little bit different, they're able to re-enjoy the experience again. Again, we're trying to do things a little bit differently. Everything from taking full advantage of the digital world to just-in-time manufacturing. We're trying to do things a little bit differently, and hopefully it'll be a success that way. But the thing I enjoy the best is working and helping and talking to new authors and seeing where my insights maybe can help them develop their books. Which was what I spent, 3 years with John Ricks on his book, and I think we have something pretty good coming out on Monday.
Wow. Three years. You know, John is a little bit shy. He helped me with a couple of my shows, actually, and I am so looking forward to reading his book because I thought, you know, for someone who has a couple of books already in the making, you know, this guy sounds like, you know, he is really, really shy or humble or whatever you want to call it, but I am looking forward to it. I think science fiction, personally, I just look at it as being ahead of its time and leading us onward to new dimensions. We're going to be living galactically, and I really feel like science fiction authors are some of the most I think some of the most intelligent authors there are. I personally would have a science fiction author on any time. So I really look forward to having more authors out by you, Casey. You're just starting.
Well, let's not forget my mystery suspense authors, and we do have our third poet. You were the second poet we published.
Absolutely.
And now coming out, on its way from the printer is Autumn Turley's first book, which is a collection of her poetry and art by her friends at San Francisco State University. I think it's San Francisco State. Hopefully I didn't get my universities mixed up there, Autumn, if you're
no,
listening,
you're
calling
fine.
And correct me there. But it's an interesting collection of books from a woman, she's, I think, 23, 24 now, 21 when I met her. But she writes way beyond her years, and she can tell that from her mother being a writer. But if you can preview all these books by going to Scribd, which I'm taking advantage of, and right now eventually we'll be adding other sites as well. But if you go to www.scribd.com, you can actually find us, Daily Swan, and look at previews of all the books we've published and what's coming out.
Wow.
And, so that can be pretty good for people.
Yep, and you have your own website, which is?
DailySwanPublishing.com.
All right. So people out there listening, if you're a little shy about calling in, you can check him out at DailySwan.com. And also, go ahead, Casey.
It's Scribd.com. Eventually we'll be with a few more. One of the things we do with all that you've gotten is my monthly newsletter where all of the authors are, and agents and the publicists and everybody involved is always passing on new sites where authors can get involved reaching the reading audience. And that's so important nowadays, whether you publish it yourself or you're with a publisher. It's so important for the author to get involved. I don't care if you're with me, you publish it yourself, or if you're with Random House. It is still up to the publisher more than ever to get involved in the marketing. Because there's so much out there, and people don't want to read the propaganda of the publishers.
Of the publisher. That's so correct. And, you know, Casey, I want to talk to you just a bit about, okay, when I go to Amazon.com, every single book is there. And that's great, but where are the rest of the people? You know, where are the companies? Where are they going? I mean, to me, that's a major, because I used to buy from Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Borders, and I never went to Amazon, never.
Well, Amazon is one of the sources you can go to online books.
Mm-hmm.
And the independent bookstores have their own group as well called IndieBound, which we're part of. And if you're looking for one of my books and you want to buy it from independent and you can't find the book, you can actually go on the book and there's a link from the title to IndieBound where you can find it with independent bookstores. You can carry the book in your area or you can just order it online and they'll mail it to you just like an Amazon would. So like I said, the Internet is opening up so much more for the independent bookstores. It's a rough time for them, but I was reading this last year 40 new independent bookstores opened up.
Wow.
Now, we lost a few, but it's nice to see new ones opening.
I had no idea. Well, you know, mainly we only hear about Amazon. You know, the average general public, Amazon, go to Amazon, and you don't know about the others.
Well, we also need to support the independent publishers, the independent bookstores, because without them, you know, Amazon is making it harder on self-published people because you have to work with their print on demand. Everybody's getting, one thing I'm noticing is everything's getting more secular. It used to be a distributor might do with six different things, and but now it's starting to get a little consolidation on the on-demand and the distribution channels and all of that. We're lucky enough to have a wonderful distribution channel ourselves. We have Midpoint, our master distributor, wonderful folks there. Barnes & Noble and Baker & Taylor, both, they're looking for when my books are coming out and pricing their pre-orders for them, as are Barnes & Noble. And then we have Gazelle in Europe and Africa. So we've got a good start to distribution. I mean, I was going online at eBay the other day. You can buy books on eBay, and I saw an autographed copy of my book sold for $15 on eBay in England, which was pretty good. It only retails for $9.95, so somebody paid a premium for my autograph,
good.
So that was sort of neat.
There you go.
But, yeah, so that's sort of flattering. I mean, mine is one either love or hate, but that's true of a lot of books. You know,
absolutely.
What we try to do is we're trying to become more of a full-line publisher, which is difficult these days, but have something for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Casey, if there is an author out there that wants to know, okay, I've got a book. It's not science fiction, but it's kind of close. What would you tell them?
Well, it's true of a book. I mean, I do fantasies. Mm-hmm. Science fiction, mystery, suspense. We're starting our nonfiction books. We do our motivational, our poetry, a little bit of it. We're trying to be a full-line publishing house, but you have to take it one small step at a time.
Sure.
First thing is just like when I train salespeople. If you're afraid of no, you're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
You can't be afraid of no, because you're going to hear more rejection than you ever dreamed of.
Uh-oh.
I mean, look at people. And then you don't quit your day job.
Oh.
You know, if you sell 10,000 copies of a book, that's very successful.
Right, right.
Most books never reach that level. So, you know, if you're looking for a million seller, yeah. If you persevere, you may be the next Harry Potter. How long did her book sit around in England as a little published book?
Yeah.
There's so many of these that just sit around until they're discovered by people who tell their friends and family, and then it starts moving up the sales list.
Right. It's word of mouth.
So, yeah, the important thing is, you know, be involved, be active. If you think you have something good, it probably is. But also be willing to listen to criticism about it.
Oh.
Because whenever we reject books, we do try to get back to people either over the phone or online and let people know what it was that caused us to reject it. Even our ones we accept, we usually have things that we want changed. I mean, that's just part of the editorial process. But there seems to be right now to the two extremes. I mean, how dare you criticize my work? Or, oh, my God, thank you for your suggestions. And it's the ones that are willing to listen to others and the critical editorial comments in their books. Those are the ones that are going to come up with something pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Willing to listen.
Yeah.
I think that is so important because I know everyone that writes, and they think their book, you know, it needs nothing. It's perfect, but sometimes it does. And that open mind can get it in the world. What could be more important? Because on your own, you can go to all the self-publishing places like Casey talked about. But the problem is, it is not, Casey, give the difference between, I'm going to let you do that. Tell the difference to the audience.
Well, there's two big differences. When you go on to print on demand, it's a wonderful way to get your book out there. You're probably going to have to be one to sell it, but there are websites out there. Scribd is one. If you deal with Amazon's print on demand, you're up on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Ingram has a print on demand that'll help you get up and more sales on their website. They all have websites to help you sell your book, but you're the editor, you're the publicist, you're everything, and you really, unless it's a regional, local bookstore, you're not going to make it into any bookstores. That the advantage of a traditional publisher is the editorial comments back. It takes a good year and a half to finish a book build.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen overnight. I had somebody call me today and wanted a book, if I could publish a book in 2010. I'm working on 2012 and 2013 now.
There
just
you
because,
go.
You know, we're trying to get to the point where everything's done, you know, 6 to 9 months in advance for publicity, so the bookstores have a chance to carry your book. But the big thing to me is editorial content. You have an editor actually looking at your book, going over any changes that may or may not be beneficial to your book, and everything from character development to your grammar.
To the grammar.
And with on-demand, sometimes you miss out on those things unless you pay for it yourself.
And I believe sometimes people forget that publishing houses have, each one of them seems to have their own specialty. Like Casey is science fiction horror, and some places are romance, others are whatever. And I really think it is important to pick the people that are like-minded. So for
well,
you to
it's
go...
Not only, yeah, okay. It's not only that, but we try in all of our books, the good guy wins. I don't like books for the bad guy wins. Now, we have Revenge, which is a wonderful anti-hero book.
Okay.
And we have some others like that. They may be anti-heroes. You don't want to like them, but you can't help liking them.
Mm.
And again, and in the end, good conquers evil. I mean, that's just how all of our books are.
Okay.
I mean, that's just part of that. So if it's a suspense, if it's mystery, fantasy, science fiction, we want a positive message in our books. Some other publishers aren't like that.
Right.
And that's where you need to, just because you get rejected by a publisher, maybe that was just the wrong publisher for your book.
Absolutely. And there are many publishers, don't give up. Just find the one that speaks your language, that wants your kind of book. And I want to give everyone the call-in number is 347-326-9915. This is your chance to talk to a publisher live, Casey Swan of Daily Swan Publishing Company. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, somebody please call in, because as much as I enjoy talking
really?
To you, you're
supposed
to talk
afraid.
To people and help them answer their questions.
You know, that's what I mentioned. I wrote Casey. I said, you know, Casey, I have found people are very, very shy with calling. They want to. They write me, and I tell them, please don't write me. Call in and talk to Casey, because I don't have the answers, but he does. So.
Well, I don't know about the answers, but maybe I can point them in the right direction.
Exactly. Do you hear what he's saying, folks? And I'm going to give us just a bit of a little short break, Casey, and I'm going to play a song by Deandra Newell. I'm sorry, this one is by Amelia Bloom. She's only 13 years old, and it's called Let's Play.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my walls, break down my door, I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. Hey, hey, people say you're wild and unpredictable. I don't get why you know I like you anyway. You're a loser, very cool, but I can't be just as impossible.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Amelia.
That was pretty good. And that was a 13-year-old?
Yeah. She's from Australia, and she is one of the sensations of Australia, and she was on our show, and I just, God, amazing, 13 years old. She called me right before the show, and she was really a little, you know, nervous, and I said, Amelia, you know, don't worry about it. I think you're going to do fine. So, yeah, 13.
Now, as we had our break there, I was checking my email, and a big part of the publishing industry is libraries and what they're doing.
Okay.
And I just pulled up. I'm actually going to be up in the Seattle area for our annual board meeting the week of the 16th. And saw an invite here to go over and talk to their planning on setting priorities on web versus media, web versus hard books.
Interesting.
So that should be an interesting meeting. Hopefully I can attend. Books versus the web. I mean, they're both so important nowadays.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what's going to happen with the book Google idea, which I have some issues with myself. But there's so much out there for people to read now.
Mm-hmm.
You almost have to be careful of what you're reading because you never know where it came from. But it's so decentralized now. The whole idea of publishing and providing information out there, it mm-hmm. used to be consolidated. You know, if it wasn't out of New York, it was out of L.A. in this country, and maybe out of Chicago. But now it's all over the country, and everybody is part of it. And that's what makes it such a thrilling time.
Well, now, Google, they are actually putting all the book online. How can they do that without the permission?
Well, they've been trying to work out something, but thanks to people like Ursula Le Guin and the like, the Writers Union was going along with the deal, and there's this huge legal thing trying to settlement on the whole thing.
Right.
Firstly, I don't think they have any right to load my books that I've gone to the expense of publishing onto
right.
a website where somebody can download it for free. You know?
That's not right.
You can go to a used bookstore and find them or whatever you
sure.
want, but please, somebody
sure.
has to buy it initially or I'm out of business. It's the whole model of when I was in the Internet in the early mid-90s when we were putting together a program where everybody was downloading music for free.
Mm.
And I used to go up in Red Hill there in the peninsula, San Francisco
mm-hmm.
peninsula there, and we had this business plan where people would go to a community site
right.
and pay for music downloads. And I was told over and over again, nobody will ever pay for a music download. Well, it seems to me with this Google thing, it's the same thing, putting it out there for free so nobody has to buy anything.
No
well, Google
way.
Makes their money, but how do the rest of us stay in business?
Absolutely. And how do we? I mean, there has to be some kind of compromise that we are all needing to make money off of what we do, and Google, I can't imagine where they come from. I don't get that.
Well, it's the, how do I phrase this right without getting in trouble? It's just they have an idea to make all of the words of the world available through them.
Oh.
So it would be like the biggest library in the world, sort of like the old Alexandria Library where all the world's information is at one source.
Okay.
The problem I have with that is it's the same as the music side or people pirate music, movies or music or
mm-hmm.
books or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't the artists be paid for their effort? Shouldn't they be rewarded for their effort?
Yeah. And, you know.
And that's a big thing. Yeah, go ahead there.
No, I agree with you, Casey, that if the artist is not awarded, how do they produce new works? I mean, Google will, but what about the artist?
And that's the wonderful thing about Amazon, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has a thing which I think is interesting, where they're going to be becoming a bricks-and-mortar publisher. They're going to take those that are there on demand that do well and publish them for the bookstores as a legitimate press.
Oh.
So you have people going from on demand turning into legitimate presses that way too. But on demand, so we have four with Treelanders coming out this summer. That'll be our fourth book we've discovered from self-published titles.
Oh.
So it is a way to get discovered. And there's nothing wrong with it. Just be aware of the pitfalls and make sure you read your contract.
Okay, so you've had four books that are self-published that you have published. So I want everyone out there to listen to that very closely because, you know.
A lot of publishers are looking for books. And one of the things they're looking for, they are looking at what's being published out there by the individual.
Okay.
And you basically take over the publishing of that book from the on-demand. But when you publish on-demand, there's good and bad, just like any publisher or anybody else. So, again, I can't stress enough, just like when we have a new author and we send in the contract, make sure you read the contract. Go have somebody else read the contract, too. Make sure you're happy with it, because otherwise something's going to come up that you didn't realize. So it's a crazy world of publishing right now. It's fun, and there's so much. It's changing every time you turn around. And that's where we try to work closely now with Publishers Weekly, the Independent Publishers Association, and all these sources, and stay on top of where the publishing world's going. But we don't actually need to think of where it is today. We're trying to figure out where it's going to be 5 years from now.
Sure.
And that's part of our business plan and what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at titles for 2013 now. What's the publishing world going to look like in 2013?
Sure.
That's 3 years from now. 4 years from now, really.
You know, Casey, that is so strange to hear you say that. And everyone out there, I know you're a little shy to talk to a real live publisher, but how else are you going to find out what you need, what they need, and how are you going to get your writing out there? So I hope that everyone out there will not be that timid and will contact Casey. Now, how can they contact you?
The easiest way is to the email, and it's pretty simple. It's Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at Daily, D-A-I-L-E-Y, Swan, S-W-A-N, publishing.com. And we do try to respond to emails within a couple of weeks. Sometimes I get busy. I'll be gone for about a week.
Sure.
But another thing we're doing now, and people might want to know, is our short story program. There's some wonderful short stories. So we are actually paying people to publish their short stories online. We're publishing, I think we have 6 out now after 2 months.
Wow.
And then at the end of spring of next year, we'll be publishing our first anthology of short stories.
Wow.
And those can be reviewed both on our website at Daily Swan Publishing and at the Scriven website. And it'll be a reader's choice of the top 12 short stories will be published in an anthology. Probably a little mystery, a little suspense, a little science fiction, a little fantasy. It's hard to tell.
Sure.
But it'll be chosen by what the people out there want to see. So it'll be a little bit different, and we're excited about that. So, again, we're looking for short stories.
Everyone, listen to what he tells you. Okay, so they wrote a short story, and how can they actually reach you?
Just email me at the email, Casey at Daily Swan Publishing, and you have a link on your site.
I do.
And email me the short story. If we like it, we'll publish it online. You'll get a little check for your trouble.
Wow.
And maybe, hopefully, you'll be one of the 12 finalists to be in the anthology.
There you go.
And that'll be another place to see your book out there. So that's another new exciting project we're starting. Again, we're trying to be as much as we can for the new author and the young and the first-time authors. And I love working with first-time authors. I mean, there's, I think, 4 or 5 authors we're working with right now, helping them develop their writing so their book will be ready to be published.
See, you know, everyone out there, I want to let you know that Casey is very, very approachable, and he is absolutely going to lead you onward, no matter whether he sends you elsewhere. It doesn't matter. He is there. He's a source. I would tell everyone to at least try. I mean, you know, if you don't try, you're never, never going to know. And if you write me, I'm sorry, but I have not a clue about publishing. And I wish I did, but that's not my main thing. So
well, sometimes I don't think I have a clue about it either, but we're trying anyway.
You're trying. And at least you have a company. I don't have that. So, you know, Daily Swan Publishing, and I'm looking at your logo. You know, Casey, I'm a little, you know, where did you get that logo? How did you pick that?
That is some more of the artwork of my talented brother, Gordon Swanson. And like I said, this is a family publishing house.
Sure.
He's done some covers. In fact, your book I did the cover design on, and he never complained about that, so I must have done a fairly decent job on that.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I have some talent in the family. And but, yeah, he designed that logo for us way back then.
Beautiful.
When my favorite colors have always been blue and gold. So he incorporated those, and it just sort of just fit into place. Now, we did add our first imprint now, which you're now part of, which is Earl Henry Books, which is we officially launched our poetry line imprint with our third title.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So now we have Earl Henry Books. Well, now I'm telling you. So you're now part of Daily Swan and Earl Henry, which is our second imprint out there, which is sort of exciting. And that'll be our annual book of poetry and art.
You know,
and that's much more of a love of poetry than anything else. I don't think we'll ever make money on the deal.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to bring the poetry and the art to the public.
You know, poetry is a thing that usually is about 100 years ahead of its time. It's going to come into its time, if it comes in, 100 years from now. And I tell everyone, you know, you just keep writing poetry. You don't have to see the result, because it may not be during your life. But on the other hand, I think science fiction and horror authors are more known during their time.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get the fiction author, probably more so. You do have a few big name poets, but a lot of times poets are recognized after their death. That's always sort of been the case.
That's been the thing. And everyone out there, again, so you got science fiction, horror, but he's also very interested in poetry. And I hope
We have the mystery suspense. Our nonfiction, which began, our first nonfiction was John Baker's book on Chicken Noodle News on the early days of CNN.
Yep.
And after reading that book and talking with him, it's amazing that they ever got off the ground. But there's a good example of perseverance. I mean, some of the bloopers and the video of the early days of CNN and Ted Turner just sticking his neck out for that. I mean, if that's where you have a dream and you stick with it and it becomes a reality. But if people want just a good, fun read on how something actually happens, the name Chicken Noodle News came from the competition. Said, how are you ever going to support a 24-hour news network? Well, that's part of life now. But when Ted Turner launched it, it wasn't. And John Baker was there from the beginning.
Wow.
So it's a very, quick read, but a very fun and informative read. On just what it takes to start a business.
And, you know, we've had several of your authors, Casey, on our show. One of them, the one that is a newscaster that has another book coming out?
Yes, Paula Tutman. Her second book went to press this week. It's Deadline's second block, which is a follow-up to her first book, which is our best-selling book. And Deadline, and it's a mystery suspense, but it's real life. She is a reporter in the field.
Mm-hmm.
She's out of Detroit. She's won Emmys. She's a very top-of-the-line reporter, and it's based in part on an incident in her life, which puts even more emotion and drama into it. And Helen Thomas gave a wonderful blurb for us on it, of all people. Everybody knows who Helen Thomas is.
Yep, she was
but
on the show.
This is what she said about Deadline. A rip from the headlines feel mixed with authentic newsroom politics. For those who love mysteries, this is the one who shouldn't be missed. Now, if Helen Thomas says that, I think we all should pay attention.
We should.
So Deadline 1 is out there, and Deadline 2 will be going to the stores probably within the next 3 weeks.
Wow.
And again, we're a small press. It may not be in every one, but if you go to our website, you can find it. Or just ask your local independent bookstore to pick get it for you. They can do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think We had Helen Thomas on, and she was amazing. She's been in the White House now for over 57 years, and she is a correspondent, Helen Thomas, and I would personally listen to anything she said. She's amazing. She's like right on.
Yeah,
what's that?
Listening to her, she still has a good mind about her.
Absolutely. She was one of the most with it guests I have ever had. She was on time. She called in. No, she did. She really didn't want anybody to call her because we can call out. No, she'd call in, and she truly is amazing. She is absolutely brilliant. And she has the most down-to-earth, a professional manner about her. I always feel like people that kind of, you know, they show up on time and they've got it ready and they're very, and Helen Thomas. So everyone out there, I would listen to what she said. And Casey, I want to ask you one more time. I know you've said it, but let's give your websites.
It's www.daily, D-A-I-L-E-Y, Swan, S-W-A-N, and that's it for my wife and our names. My wife is Jessica Daly, and I'm Casey Swanson, and we founded the company with my brother Gordon and my cousin Denny, and my sister Pamela is now involved, and so very family, and my daughter's fiance helped design and put up a website, so it's very family run, but again, it's the idea of a publishing family. But it's Daily, D-A-I-L-E-Y, Swan, S-W-A-N, publishing.com, and that's the name of the company, Daily Swan Publishing, Inc. And, if your people out there are hearing and they want questions answered, you can always email me. I'm always trying to get to people as quickly as I can. Sometimes I get buried.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small company. I do a lot. I do the marketing. I do the book builds.
Right.
I do... What do I do? You've known me since almost day one.
Everything.
Of this project, Judy.
Daily does.
Oh.
You know, Daily Swan Publishing, and Casey Swan is the president, the CEO. And believe me, folks, he does
it all.
Well,
my wife is now the CEO. We made her the CEO.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So Jess is now the CEO.
Yes. All right.
But,
she's great.
But,
I mean, I have known Casey a long time, and I honestly feel like out of all the people I've known in my life, which are many, Casey is very, very sincere, and he's not in that big a hurry. He knows that everything that's great takes time, and I like that about you, Casey, because a lot of people
appreciate
think
that.
Tomorrow, you know, it's not. It may be
no.
Day after tomorrow, right, Casey?
There's times I wish I could just throw away my cell phone. I mean, I see these people that are on their cell phones nonstop. They don't know how to put them down.
Yep.
Twitter drives me nuts. I mean, I spent too many years in the sales field, and people say, well, how can we reach you if we can't reach on the cell phone? If I did the job right, you don't need to reach me. If it's an emergency, we should did something wrong, but if we do it right, there's no such thing. So,
there you go.
You know.
That's a great way to end tonight's show because Casey said it eloquently. If we do it right, you don't need to reach us, but if we don't, reach us. And for the new authors out there, of course, Casey would like for you to contact him. And you can find him online, dailyswanpublishing.com. And also when you go to judyjoyjoneshow.com, tonight's show, and you're going to find all of that information right there in the show's description. And I want to tell everyone out there that, okay, you might have been shy to call in, and if you write me, I'm going to push you onward to Casey because I really don't have the answers. I can only share with you the people that come through my life, and Casey absolutely is one. And Casey, thank you.
Well, thank you, and I may not have the answers, but maybe between the two of us, we can direct them and put them in the right direction.
Absolutely, and I'm going to tell Casey Swanson at Daily Swan Publishing Company .com good night, And thank you so much for being with us. We're going to end the show tonight with, I love this song. It's actually the Big Boppers, Chantilly Lace, and there's something about it that just turns me on. And we
that is a great song.
That is. Thank you, Casey.
A good evening, and a good evening for everybody out there.
Thank you, Casey. That's
thank you.
Casey Swanson, Daily Swan Publishing.
Okay. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet man. Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Make the world go round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like. What's that, baby? But, oh, honey. But, oh, baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace had a pretty face, had a ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Lord, make the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's the one I like. What's that, honey? Pick you up at 8, and don't be late. But, baby, I ain't got no money, honey. Oh, all right, honey, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face, ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Low, make the world go round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like.
I ain't got no home, I'm just a roaming round. Just a wandering worker, I go from town to town. And the police make it hard wherever I may go. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. My sisters are stranded on this road, a hot and dusty road that a million feet have trod. Rich man took my home and drove me from my door, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
This comes from Betsy Smith. Back in the day before the United States government said that you could consume alcohol, they said you could not consume alcohol. They said you couldn't make it, but people made it anyway. They made it. They made it in the backwoods. Bring me my sin. Well, when I ain't nothing I want. He's a buddy of mine. I make friends where it.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over.
Become a Republican. Become a Republican.